everybody. Once again, we did not win that lottery this weekend, so we're back at work.
Someone bought a ticket at a Kroger's grocery store in Michigan and won it.
$1 billion.
Can you imagine? Oh.
So here we are. Let's
it would
do
be
radio.
Too much money for us to handle.
It really would be. So we came to work today and recorded some sea shanties and did some exercise or something. I'm not sure what that was about.
Lady,
we'll hear about that.
Lady Exercise finally came back to the building.
He's a character of Lorraine's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to click on that. That's on your Twitter, right?
It's on Lori and Julia. You can follow us on Twitter or on our Instagram page. And Lori does an excellent job just being...
Lady Exercise.
She's very good at it.
Thank you, Julia.
It made me laugh, Lori, so thank you.
We haven't done any in so long. Since Donnie left.
Since Donnie left, we lost our happy place. Right. We lost our extra chunk of time in the office not doing his job. So, anywho, but it's very cute. It's funny.
And Rocco, good job. You reworked Lori's lyrics a little bit. We have a sea shanty to the man wall, and I watched that. Movie Fisherman's Friends. I swear, Rocco, you told us to watch that movie.
No, somebody did, but it wasn't
someone
me.
Someone else told us to watch
it. Okay, so it's a true story, and it's on Netflix. It's a movie, and it's about this group of guys who kind of accidentally became stars. Cornwall. It'll make you want to go to Cornwall, England, which is 5 hours from London.
Is that where it is?
On the coast.
South, okay.
But anyway... That drunken sailor song really gets in your head. Both Casey and after we watched the movie, we're like singing it and stuff.
Howdy.
So anyway, I like it. Rocco, I don't know when we're gonna play it.
Yeah, I broke it down into little chunks because I feel like maybe the whole thing, in one sitting, is a little too long.
It is too long.
Rocco, this is 1752 rock and roll. It is what it is.
Well, whenever you're ready, I got it broken into chunks. You want to hear the first one?
Let's hear a little bit.
Okay, here it goes.
What should we do with the low J man? Well, what should we do with the low J man? Well, what should we do with the low J man? Well, now that we're remodeling, boo-hoo down, it's coming, boo-hoo down, it's coming, boo-hoo down, it's coming, now that we're remodeling. Hanging in the halls of an art museum.
Yes.
Hanging in the halls of an art museum.
Yes.
Hanging in the halls of an art museum. Now that we're remodeling.
All right, that's part one.
I think it's good, Rocco. I think it's good. In the sea shanty thing, TikTok is like, which none of us subscribe to. So we need Brittany to come and do our TikTok video.
Right.
Because Brittany, if you're listening, you just drop by on your way home.
Right.
It's just all the rage. So it's all these sea shanties. They're just people are just trying to find goofy things to entertain themselves.
I knew Rocco was probably going to rework the lyrics
because
our listener Lori had
sent us
a
great job.
And so when Casey's like, I found a movie for us, Fisherman's Friends. And I'm like, someone just told us about that. It's about the sea shanty guys.
Yes.
So I kind of was like, oh, okay, that'll be Monday. But it felt like, you know, Friday night always feels like Monday is so far away, and yet it went by at a rapid clip. Once again.
Depends on what you do in the weekend.
Yeah.
Because yesterday at 3, I thought, can it just be 9 p.m.?
Oh,
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought the weekend went by fast.
I played a lot of tennis.
Did you upset about the Packers loss, or what was...
Well, I was just upset about my life.
Were you upset about the Packers loss?
I watched with some Packer buddies, and I was like, I'm going to join on their team for today.
I wanted them to win for the Midwest.
Right.
I have to be honest, because Tom Brady always wins.
But when it was over, my friends were hurting, and I wasn't as hurting as much as them.
Right.
Because I was only pretending.
Yeah, my Uncle Tom was bereft.
Well,
my Aunt Claudia said that she hadn't heard that string of curse words in those...
There were a couple of choice moments when you thought they should have gone for it, a touchdown versus a field goal. And one time I thought Aaron Rodgers was running the ball, and I did watch the dumb game.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He was running, and he should have kept running.
He should have kept running. It was wide open. I'm like, why are you stomping? But, whatever.
Well, now it's the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The GOAT versus the Young Buck. The Today Show was nice and shady this morning. They showed a picture of Tom Brady at his first Super Bowl, which he pretty much looks the same.
He really does.
And then they showed Patrick Mahomes at
Six years old.
Yeah, 6 years old.
6 years old when Tom was in his first.
And they did this side by side, and I just thought, oh, I like your Shady Tea Today show.
You know, when he was a kid, he lived around here because his dad, Pat Mahomes, pitched for the Twins.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah, so there's pictures of him running
around.
That's
why he was in the baseball field.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was all about.
Okay, but.
Yeah, the other things about the Super Bowl, so it's in 2 weekends.
Yeah.
And it's the very first time that the home team is playing in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. We were hoping the Vikings,
right?
Because we were in the
championship game,
and we lost to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping it was going to happen, but so that's kind of exciting. And Tom Brady, he's amazing.
I mean, that's his. Am I reading that right? His 10th
Super Bowl
at the age of 43.
Wow!
And no one has ever done this, but Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, won the Super Bowl last year, and no one has won 2 Super Bowls back to back.
Also,
a quarterback. So there's a lot around the game. I think it'll be a good game.
I also loved hearing about the companies like Budweiser and Coca-Cola and a couple other companies that are not going to advertise by a Super Bowl spot. They're going to
donate the money.
They're donating the money. They're going to make a PSA for vaccination awareness.
Nice.
And then they're donating the money. So they're skipping. So it's Coke, Pepsi. So other companies, you know.
So it's Coke, Pepsi's.
Coke, Pepsi, Doritos.
Budweiser.
They're going to have theirs. But yeah, they've lost a couple of big advertisers. Of course, Coca-Cola's lost all kinds of income from
not having stadiums open
and movie theaters and all of
everywhere
that.
Everywhere you might pop out of machines. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's, you know, do the coronavirus vaccination awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea. And
Starting tomorrow, there is a change in how you register to get pre-registered for vaccinations
in
Minnesota through the state. So you might want to just check your Star Tribune or go find out because there's a new process that's starting tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know why they have to start all over every
week. Because
the
first one just kind of blob.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to figure it out.
Here's another idea, though, for you. If you have a doctor at a clinic,
yes,
you can email them and just let them know that, you know, if you're 65 and older or whatever, fit the criteria. Because I know a couple people who've gotten their appointments that way, said, mm-hmm, you know, I'm however old, I'm willing to take the vaccine, and they didn't go through the state.
Right. Right. So, like my mom.
Yeah, Casey mom just called, mm-hmm, her, and he said it was so slick, that clinic, the way they had it set up and everything. Yep. So hopefully, you know, they're going to get that
worked out.
That was
big news for us, Rocco. My mom got her first shot on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Vaccination
on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think people who have, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I've got a friend who's got 2. She's had both of hers, and she's in healthcare, and she just said she feels this new freedom on life. It's the most bizarre feeling that you'd be so excited that you aren't, but you are. You're not going to infect anybody,
yeah,
and no one's going to infect you, you know. So she just says it's a new freedom.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you go to Africa and you go on some kind of a trip, you have to get a couple of vaccinations,
yeah,
because no one wants to get typhoid or dengue fever or whatever it was, or you get malaria pills.
I mean, 100%.
It's just like the same thing. And then you don't have to worry about,
mm-hmm,
it, you know?
Yep.
It's like when people get, you know, your doctor bugs you about your tetanus.
Oh, I hated getting that one.
Right, but you have to get it
shingles
every 10 years.
I'm on the shingles shot watch.
Are you?
I need to get it, but I've been putting it off.
You go to Walgreens. They do it right at Walgreens, Jules.
I just can't. I know.
I got sick from both of my shingles shots.
I'm well aware because I work with you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm well aware. And in between the sickness, there's a big vacation, too.
Probably.
So I felt like you were gone for a month.
I know it. All right, listen, we come back.
Vacations. Oh.
Well,
they're going to come.
They're coming. When we come back, it's our story. We can't get enough of it. And that's a good song for this time. Hold on for one more day. Wilson Phillips, a little flashback. First we lose Hank Aaron, then Saturday, Larry King.
Get
the news that he died.
Yeah,
we had known that he had been
ill
because he'd been in the hospital. Mm-hmm. He was 87 years old. And here's, I think this is from the Today Show that we're going to use, their Joe Fryer reporting.
Okay.
Just on his life.
Tributes are pouring in from those who sat in the chair opposite Larry King and those who admired him from afar. He once said here on Today, people with a passion for life and a sense of humor made the best guests, qualities the interviewer himself had in spades. Here are some of our favorite moments with Larry King.
Next, on Larry King Live. Ever since he was a child, Larry King knew what he wanted to do.
Since I was 5 years old, I would dream of being on the radio.
At age 21, that dream came true with humble beginnings at a small Florida radio station.
Did a radio show from Pumpernick's restaurant. Bobby Darin walked in one day. Jimmy Hoffa walked in.
His big break in TV came in 1985 when he was hired by CNN.
Welcome to Larry King Live.
With innate curiosity, King was a natural interviewer, as he explained here on Today.
I love asking questions. Yeah. To me, I've been doing it all my life. When I was 9 years old, I asked the bus driver, why do you want to drive a bus?
And of course, you know, his nationally syndicated radio show, and then from 85 to 2010, he was nightly fixture on CNN.
I would watch him all the time.
We watched him all the time. We were very upset in 2010 when he was basically forced out by CNN and replaced by Piers Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
We were so mad because it was like Larry King wasn't ready to be done.
No, he wasn't.
It wasn't his choice, and that's what he, for 25 years.
Piers Morgan really never took off here. Ever.
1 year and he was out. Yeah. And Larry King was went on gone. To have some other deals, you know, at some other networks and some, I forget.
Web things.
Yes, yeah, some web things. But he also had another thing on another, like, I can't think of what the station is. But they estimate, and Holly posted some of his, you know, best celebrity story interviews. But he did so many. But he conducted an estimated 50,000 on-air interviews. In 1995, he presided over a Middle East peace summit with PLO chairman Yasser Arafat, King Hussein of Jordan, and Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. He had everyone from the Dalai Lama to Elizabeth Taylor to Putin to Lady Gaga to Prince. And he never overprepared. In fact, when he had somebody on who wrote a book, he made a point of not reading the
book. I remember that. I mean, and that's kind of been interesting, Rocco, because we'll hear this from authors, because we pretty much have a book a week since, I feel like, the beginning of time here. And that's a lot of years. And we always hear a thank you that you read the book from our authors. You know, I had it, and now that I'm more in the back end of it, in the producing end of it, they're so delighted that we read the book. And, you know, for years, I would only partially read books, and you would read them all. So, but I think his whole thing is, if I know too much, then when I ask, it'll taint how I ask questions. And why everyone said they loved being interviewed by Larry King was because he listened and would just ask short, simple questions.
Why was the question he asked the most?
Why?
Why? And he was very non-confrontational, and he questioned the famous and the everyman. And I thought this was kind of interesting.
Because he didn't feel like he was better than anybody, or trying to get your goat or anything, or trying to get you.
Yeah, he, you know, he never really stopped working. Yeah, he was on Aura TV. That's what he moved to Aura TV in 2012 to host
Whoever
Larry King. Now, I see it on my. I have it. And it basically all the big names showed up for that too. And he really, I mean, he got married for the first time at 18.
He did.
He
married more than Elizabeth Taylor, I think.
No, he got married 7 times.
I thought it was 8.
Well, he married the same woman twice.
Okay.
So that one counts. Doesn't count as 8.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Not when it's the same woman.
Okay.
You know, but he was still married to his last wife, even though they'd been separated for a year. That was his longest marriage. She's 61, Sean, and they were still married. And they have 2 sons, 21 and 20. And they released a family statement in the middle of CNN's tribute to them, which I kind of liked because I really didn't think CNN treated him well, but yeah, he was.
They call it 8 times, Laurie, because King was married 8 times to 7 different women.
Women, okay.
And he had 5 kids with 3 of his wives.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah, can you believe it?
No, and then the last year of his life, though, didn't he lose two or three of his own?
He lost his two older kids.
I mean, sad.
Yeah, so that happened to him. And then Piers Morgan, listen to his tweet. Did you ever watch any Larry King, Rocky?
Yeah, a little bit.
Depending on, you know, who he had on, we would check all the time. But here's what Piers Morgan, Larry King was a hero of mine until we fell out after I replaced him at CNN. And he said, my show was like watching your mother-in-law go over cliff in your new Bentley.
Oh, well, there he's calling it out. He's calling himself out.
No, Larry King said that about him.
Oh,
your show was like listening to my mother-in-law going over a cliff.
Watching your mother-in-law go over a cliff in your new Bentley. So Pierce shared that. But then he made this mention. He married 8 times. So mother-in-law expert.
Right. Why would you do? Pierce is so
just go back to your hole.
He's a Daily Mail dude. I mean, that guy he's very.
I mean, a man just died.
It's a tribute time, not time to dig up little nuggets like poke the bear.
And if he had just dead. If he just left and, you know, I
that
would have
been funny.
Yeah, if he said my show was like watching your mother-in-law go over a cliff in your new Bentley. He was a brilliant broadcaster and a masterful TV interviewer. He would be missed. I mean, he could have done
fine,
it like that.
But he had to get in the dig.
Get in the dig. And
that's such insecurity. He only lasted a year replacing him. I think the thing with Larry King when he was on CNN for so many years from 85 to 2010. It was like he was warm milk. You didn't ever, I remember when he had on Beretta.
Robert Blake.
Oh gosh. I mean, he had some moments, you know?
He had a lot. But if you look at what Holly posted, it's kind of unbelievable. And he loved talking to musicians. But yes, I remember we watched that Robert Blake interview.
Right. Like, is your wife in the pool or did you murder your wife? But he asked it so nonsensical, like, so
leaning forward,
right. And in his suspenders, never on a suit coat, very unassuming, right across the desk.
Meghan McCain and Joy Behar on The View today were singing his praises. Joy Behar said he was the reason she got her HLN show, which she had for
remember,
a couple of years.
She did have that. We liked that show.
Yeah. And then Meghan McCain said he had the most enjoyable green room, and she did work for him in LA, and she was on his show at least once, but he was very encouraging for her to
get into broadcasting.
Yes, and to be commentating. They just went on and on about like just what a really great guy he was. Well, when we come back, we have he loved to talk to musicians, and he did get a couple of interesting scoops that we kind of forgot about.
Oh, good. So okay.
We'll do that when we come back.
We're talking about Larry King.
Kelly Clarkson covering Cyndi Lauper last Friday. Girls just want to have fun. Good version. That's good. I like her. She's so good.
She's so good.
Okay, so Larry King over his... you know, here's a little gossip, though, that we kind of forgot about when he left CNN. So in June of 2010, CNN had done a gala week of celebrating 25 years of Larry King's interviews. And at the end of the week, King abruptly announced he was retiring, saying it's time to hang up my suspenders. And then we found out later he basically was forced out.
Right.
But
they gave him so they had this huge celebratory week, 25 years of CNN.
And then
with
they
Larry
told
King,
his agent, no.
This partnership, but by the way, we're not renewing the contract.
So, all right. So, anyway, and you can take a look at this story. We posted so you can watch clips of some of these interviews, but he did really like talking to musicians. And, you know, he got Frank Sinatra. He did the last interview with Frank Sinatra 10 years before Sinatra died.
Right.
Was the last one, and it was 1988, and he has called this one of his favorites. He asked him, you know, Frank, why are you here? And Frank said, well, you called me and asked me. And then during the segment,
didn't we work on a better response, Frank?
Yeah. Frank called writers of Kiss and Tell books because there had been a couple out about him, Pimps and Whores.
He called them what?
Pimps and Whores.
Okay.
And he confided to Larry, he said, I swear on my mother's soul, the first 4 or 5 seconds before I get out on stage, I tremble every single time I have to take that step and walk out on stage.
They say that's good for you if you're an entertainer to have that nerves. You don't want to feel comfortable.
Yeah. And then Marlon Brando, they kept showing this everywhere.
I couldn't stand looking at how ugly Marlon Brando and gross he was, and the comb forward hair from the back of his neck that they would comb over the top of his head, and it was greasy. He is so gross looking to me.
Yeah, and he had the Birkenstocks.
Oh, he just looked like a pig, and they kept showing how they kissed on the lips.
And his like pudgy gross. Feet.
We're talking about Larry King and Marlon Brando. It was gross. His hair is so dirty. He looked like he never bathed.
Right.
I was so like, oh. Aren't there better clips? Put on Beretta.
Exactly. Or put on Barbara Streisand. Because she appeared on his show several times dating back to the early 1990s. In 1995, Barbara discussed her fear of public speaking.
And performing.
And performing. She got that scoop from her from Tina Turner in 1997. She discussed with him her decision to relocate to Europe.
To Switzerland, yep.
And reflected on rebuilding her life after Ike Turner.
Right.
And he asked her how she felt about being a feminist hero. And it's really, that's a good interview. In 1999, Prince sat down. You should watch that interview.
Okay, what came out of that one? Because I saw the photos of that one. That one made me happy because Prince was turban and... You know, he was wearing a good look then.
Yeah, in 1999, he was promoting his new album, Rave Unto the Joy Fantastic. Rocco, like that album?
Right. Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Yeah. During the interview, Larry King asked him about changing his name to a symbol.
Yes.
So they talked about that, and he was still having the struggle with Warner Brothers Records.
Right.
And, you know, he just basically told Larry King, it allowed me to divorce me from the past and all the hangups that go with it. So I needed that.
Oh, and then he went back. The palate. Okay.
And then Madonna talked to him a year after Ray of Light. So she had the dark black kind of bob.
Yep.
Chin length bob. And she talked about everything, fame, rising to stardom, motherhood, her interest in politics. In 2007, Larry King brought together Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr to promote the launch of Love at Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, which, by the way,
if you get back to Vegas, great show. Rocco, have you seen that one?
Which one?
The Love. Cirque du Love.
I never saw Love.
It's
all Beatles and it's amazing.
I did see them. They did a free, you can see a rehearsal for free when you're at Caesars or whatever.
It was at the one next to the Mirage.
Treasure Island.
Yeah,
that's it.
It was Treasure Island.
Yes, yeah, so we went and saw that. That was fun.
Oh, that's their... Boy.
Great show. So he got a lot of kudos for, getting those two, together. And it was kind of a big deal. And also during the interview, which included Yoko Ono and Olivia Harrison, the widow of George and John, Larry King called Ringo George.
Oh, I love it. Why not? And then a Julia moment.
And then Beyonce, just 1 year into her marriage with Jay-Z, she appeared on Larry King Live to promote her 2009 film, Obsessed, with Idris Elba. Which I don't even remember that.
Nope.
And she discussed everything from portraying Etta James in the movie Cadillac Records to talking about the presidency of Barack Obama. And then also that she...
Dreamgirls.
That wasn't it yet. 2009. Okay. And then she wanted to have children. And then Lady Gaga was very interesting. That was... she revealed to him that she was set to open for Michael Jackson at London's O2 Arena.
That was what that was.
Before he died.
Right.
That was the big surprise. Lady Gaga was going to open.
We kept hearing about it, and there were going to be 13 shows in a row or whatever it was. But that interview, the photos that they're showing from Lady Gaga, her eyeglasses, her dark sunglasses
are askew.
Beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like she looks like she's Lulu from Looney Bins. I mean, it's just crazy looking. But Lori, I forgot that she was going to open. Boy, we talked and we spent a lot of time on speculating how he was going to even perform.
Absolutely.
There were a lot of shows.
Yeah.
On Michael.
Snoop Dogg, he and Larry King famously had amazing chemistry, and he was on Larry King several times, but their most memorable on-screen encounter came in 2010 when Snoop Dogg let King hit the switches in his custom 1967 Pontiac Parisian. And Larry King was like, I can't even reach the gears.
Oh, Larry King was a peanut of a man.
I guess he was.
And I was just looking at a photo of him with his 20, it's a 21 and 22-year-old boy or something. Mm-hmm. And his wife, who's, you know, they were estranged, but his wife, she looks like she's 7'4". Feet tall, and he mm-hmm. looks like he's 4'8".
Yeah. I mean, you're shrinking by eight.
But I mean, really shrinking. He was a very, very, I feel like he's my size.
Yeah, he might have been.
Also, with a very large head.
Yes. Mac Miller was on his show in 2015.
Was that before he...
It was three years, yeah. obviously, before yeah. he died. Were you going to just say, was that before he
no,
died?
No, I know. I knew it was, but I was just trying to think of how far.
Yeah, 3 years before he died, and he talked about his depression and some other things, but he also was completely giddy about the fact
that he, to meet him
on Larry King.
Yeah.
That Larry King called him and asked him to be on the interview. Also, there's a famous interview with Jerry Seinfeld.
That's one of his favorites, I think he said.
Yeah, Seinfeld asked him if Seinfeld had been canceled after 9 years or if Seinfeld had decided to end the show. And Seinfeld was kind of barky, snappy about it. He since has come out and said, you know...
I was barky, snappy.
Well, no, because it's an interview with Jerry promoting the Bee movie. And he was bewildered when... you know, Larry King suggested, that Seinfeld had been canceled. And he, of course, opted to end the show. And he said, as the rant at King made the rounds in the hours following his death, Seinfeld took to social media. And he said it was all in good fun. The canceled bit was me having fun with this little mistake, nothing more, nothing yeah. less. And when you watch it, it is kind of the sarcastic Seinfeld humor. Tammy Faye Messner.
Baker.
Yeah, Tammy Faye Baker.
Yeah.
They did an interview in 2007. It was she died the next day.
I know. I was just going to say, because she was a regular on his show, and we knew she was dying of cancer, and they yep. were very good friends, and those were very compelling interviews.
Yes.
There were quite a few of those. They were very good friends.
And she died the yes. very next day, and I remember we watched it, yep. we talked about it on our show, we mm-hmm. couldn't believe it. When he had Vladimir Putin on in 2000 and 2010, he grilled him about WikiLeaks, and Putin was translated in real time for the American audiences, made a rare comment about his personal life, saying that his daughters had a right to privacy.
Okay.
And Elizabeth Taylor was very candid with Larry King in 1993. She said, I was an alcoholic. It was a disease. Come 5:30, I'd have a Jack Daniels. 3, 4, 5, I'd have wine with dinner. I never got drunk. If you asked around, nobody would have said Elizabeth Taylor is a drunk, but I was.
Wow.
So kind of fun to go down yeah. and watch some of these interviews with Larry King. And the family statement, I did love it. They released it. They knew him as a broadcaster, but of course he was just dad. And
they said he was the best dad in the world.
Well, he mm-hmm. was an older dad, and yep. he was the pickup at the school. Mm-hmm. A lot of people on knew social him. Media were saying he just waited in line, in the car line with everybody mm-hmm. else. It was always him picking up the
boys. I feel like that's
boys.
What David Letterman and his son Harry do.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's an older dad.
Yeah. So, anywho, I watched...
That just... It's interesting thinking about how he was a big part of our life.
Yeah. I mean, I really, watched a couple of interviews.
It was like comfort TV.
Yeah.
Because you always knew he was on. You always were kind of excited to see who he'd be talking to. And it was so such an intimate... There was no great lighting, no great shakes. It was
just
simple.
We were so mad. I mean, Donnie could do a good impersonation. Hello, Dayton, Ohio. Or yeah. he said something. You know, mm-hmm. he would say that because we would talk about who he had on. And I did watch a couple interviews of his. I went down the YouTube rabbit hole. And he just kind of did have a way. And Piers Morgan was just a disaster.
He was a disaster. Because remember Page Six? And then I felt like he worked for Page Six TV too when he came over or something. Maybe. It was just a disaster. The Daily Mail TV.
Yeah.
It was just a disaster. Yet that's one of the biggest.
You got rid of Larry King for this?
Yeah. Disaster.
Yeah. All right, listen, when we come back, this talk show host might be on track to place this other talk show host, keeping it to the TV theme.
All right.
A little flashback, a little throwback rock set. I'd like to hear Kelly Clarkson sing that song.
Love.
All right, what's going on? Maybe she did, didn't she? I forget.
Maybe she did. I think she did cover it, Rocco. I think you're right about that.
Look that up.
Okay, yeah. So both Page Six is reporting that Kelly Clarkson may be on track to take Ellen DeGeneres' time slot. So, because she did take Steve Harvey's.
Right.
Plot, and there are rumors that
Ellen's on in the afternoon, like at 3 or 4.
But I mean, it's a slot. Think big picture.
I know.
Okay?
I'm just thinking of what time of the day.
With the distributors.
Okay.
So yeah,
so we're not talking about like day part. We're talking about just with the distributor.
That's correct. Because
I'm not surprised.
Kelly, she's the bone collector. Ellen DeGeneres is, as we know, Be Kind image was really shot over the summer after she got hit and her show got hit with accusations of harassment and sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. After 17 years on the air, she had to start her most recent season a month late with an apology. 3 producers lost their jobs over it.
Yep.
The downward spiral is continuing. The ratings are horrible, and there's reportedly 1 year left on Ellen's contract, and she's going to enter network negotiations next month. She's had a rating slip of almost 10%, and now that Kelly Clarkson show seems to have found its rhythm, it's become the most watched new daytime show in 7 years, and it may be a viable replacement for Ellen's 3 p.m. time slot that she holds.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sources say NBC wooed Kelly for a few years before she agreed to the show. And the show won 3 daytime Emmys last year, including Kelly getting Best Entertainment Talk Show. And last month, the Kelly Clarkson show hit their highest ratings and matched Ellen's numbers for the first time. But they, of course, want to keep the Telepictures prestigious time slot.
Yes.
And anyway, so we'll see. I'm sure her amazing staff is, rooting for Kelly.
Kelly really, she's likable. She's just likable, and she feels like she is one of us. I know that sounds weird, but she has more empathy.
There's a realness to her.
There is such a realness to her.
And now that we've had this... It used to just be a Hollywood secret about Ellen.
Poor Ellen, because she renewed her contract before 2020, and she was done, and they wooed her and gave her more money to come back. She could have just gone away
to herself.
Yeah.
Because you could tell she's burned out. She's not having fun. And speaking of TV and being real, I caught Tamron Hall this morning.
Who is on there? She's on Channel 45 at 11 o'clock, people.
It was such a good show.
She had
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and they were talking all about recording with Janet Jackson. That was amazing. That could have been a show in itself. Then she had Yara Shahidi, because Grown-ish is coming back, and they have met before, and they had great chemistry. Yep. But her first guest was Julia Quinn, author of the Bridgerton series of books. And I haven't really seen her interviewed that much, Julia. And she was... So darling, but she said she really had, because that first Bridgerton book, the one that this series...
It's old.
20 years.
Yeah, it's old.
Julie Quinn,
you've seen her on every airport shelf for years.
But she had nothing to do with this getting
made or anything.
I mean, obviously, she's getting paid, but she was really darling. And Tamron brought up I can't remember what episode it is in Bridgerton where Daphne and the Duke, they're married, but I think she's not really wanting to have sex. And it's some people were like yelling about it, about the consent of it and everything. And, Julia Quinn just said, listen, in 1880, a wife was the property of a husband. He could actually banish you.
Right.
You had no rights. And that, she said, I'm glad... With the Me Too lens and the perspective, we go, okay, this wouldn't work anymore. She said, but you have to take into account when these when it's set. Sure. And then, of course, everyone is losing their minds that because people have rewatched Bridgerton, that in the carriage scenes, there's yellow striped lines that they forgot to digitize away, which come out until like paint yellow lines till like 1947.
Okay, that's so funny that people are catching that. I would have
A million times.
I've watched it twice.
Okay.
But I didn't catch that. I caught more of the witty dialogue and the costuming and just the sets and the scenery. That was, but I love that someone found that out.
Yeah, they found that out. And then the Bridgerton director, the showrunner, Chris Van Dusen, he was on with Hoda and Jenna on the third hour of the Today Show. And they talked about season two will chronicle the life of the eldest brother.
Who's hot.
Anthony Bridgerton, mm-hmm. and he was my least favorite character, I gotta say.
Well, I think they're going to make him be more, they're going to find some richness in him, because there's a reason why he's so damaged, Lori.
Yes.
And so we're going to get to that.
We're going
to
see the Duke of Hastings.
Because I like the second Daphne. Son best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said they will be part of Bridgerton going forward, and they're going to start filming in March in London. And hopefully season two will be out Christmas 2021.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. That was just such a Christmas present.
Yeah, I know. And apparently there's a hilariously dark, dark world of Bridgerton TikTok.
Oh, funny.
Not just sea shanties, guys. But we've got Bridgerton TikTok.
Okay, that's funny. Okay, I have to give a shout out. All right, so.
And Reggae Holly posted he was in a boy band in high school. And she posted the photos of him and
he's so yummy. I need to give a okay. So we've watched The English Game, which if you haven't watched yet, was produced and directed and developed and everything by Julian Fellowes, who did Downton Abbey, mm-hmm. and it's a 6-part show about the beginnings of soccer, and it's. But it's a drama, and it felt Bridgerton like. It felt
it's the same era.
Yeah, it's just lovely. Mm-hmm. And Rocco, that is something that's so.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the boy to watch that.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. Even it's just so good. My mom finally this weekend, she's like, "Oh my god, I loved it. What do you have next?"
Yeah.
So then I started watching because I kind of like the escapism, going to these different areas. So you know how we loved Emily in Paris because we were just dropped inside Paris.
Same with Lupin.
Paris. Another one is called Call My Agent, and it's a French they're calling it the French version of Entourage, but it's based around an agency, you know, where they're like CMA, like an agency for actors and performers.
Like the management?
Management team, yeah. And they have, there's a set group of them, and it's fun, but it's also serious and poignant. But you go to Paris, you go to all these different locations. I just love being dropped into all these other areas right now. It just feels really yummy.
I want to watch that show, but I started Flack. I watched Flack.
So we're dropped into London. I loved that.
Anna Paquin, thanks everybody for people recommending that. That's about the mad world of PR.
And she's a nutty
nutter. Even more dastardly and cunning than we think.
It blew me away. Yeah. And so that was good. And then another one that people really liked is The Bureau. And that's been around for a while too. It's a French one. It's like the French CIA. The Bureau. My friend Kristen watched that, and she said it's so good.
Really?
So these have some seasons behind them, so you don't have to just be done with five.
Rocco, did you watch anything you can recommend this weekend?
Well, I talked to you a little bit. I started that Gomorrah, that Italian mafia show on HBO, which you already watched, I guess.
Yeah, I did. I dropped out, Casey.
Because you said it was too violent.
Because, everybody on Twitter was like, oh my gosh, HBO finally got the rights to this Italian thing. They said that this show, like when it was on in Europe, got like Game of Thrones type ratings.
Yes, it did.
And so I've watched about half of the first one. You're right. It's pretty violent. It's about the mafia
in Naples.
Napoli.
Napoli.
That's what I dug into. Yeah, I watched some movies this weekend, and I watched, I'm actually watching this video game documentary on Netflix called High Score. And it's about the history of video games. And so my boy kind of likes to
play. Fun. I watched with Casey, it was just one season. It just dropped on Netflix in October. I guess it was a 2019 show
in
Russia. It's called To the Lake. And it's about an epidemic that's killing people. And what they have to do is they're fleeing. It's a little... I said to Casey, it kind of, no, because, you know, it's not as bad as that. People get this and then they die like 4 days later.
Oh.
You know, it's like the zombie thing. Oh. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Through the lake.
Through the lake.
Okay.
It's a Russian show filmed in Moscow. So we go to Moscow and the hinterlands of Siberia or something. But.
Oh.